Hello and welcome to Earthcast, a platform for bridging the resource gap between people and planet. In celebration of Mandela Day 2023, we recorded this season live at Zapod Studios in Cape Town. In this season, Social Enterprise Stories, we follow the journey of two trailblazers in the edtech and sustainable property development sectors. This season is a collaboration with Push Local Ventures, an edtech and fintech impact investing firm. And we are joined by their CEO, Delisha Govender, a social entrepreneur, impact investor, and mentor to many. I am really excited to be introducing our first guest, Ntabi Singham Singata, who is the CEO and founder of UMeta EdTech, a profit for impact edtech startup. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you so much, Olivia, for having us. Thank you for Ntabi Singh for joining us as well. It's been an awesome pleasure to work alongside the Earthcast team, alongside Jeremy, alongside the co that makes this beautiful thing possible. Olivia's right, it's taken us a week to be here. And I think when we met, we had a deep synergy immediately around what indigenous systems look like, around what impact investing could look like. And so this is really just a manifestation, I think, of that connection. And I'm really appreciative to share that platform with many other change makers that want to celebrate Mandela Day with us, celebrate what that ethos means, and be able to still be living, breathing examples of what today looks like in the eyes of the youth who are trying to pioneer sustainable solutions. So that's who I am. That's what I enjoy doing. And I think this platform is just a representation of what that is in my life. So I appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dean. Also appreciate that. And Ntabi Singh, please, will you give us a breakdown of what you do and maybe for us, actually, why you were interested in being involved?
Sure. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ntabi Singh and I am an entrepreneur. I'm the co-founder and CEO of an edtech company called UMeta, but we'll get into the specifics. And the reason why I wanted to be a part of this was to give voice to the voiceless. Oftentimes, youth are disregarded in society with so much to say and so much enthusiasm and, you know, dynamic in their own individual right, but we're not ever given the chance to really voice how it is that we feel and some of the concerns that we have, which feeds into the solutions that we come up with. So that is my reason for coming here, to give you guys background into my life story and what led me to my solution.
Thank you so much for your bravery to come and join us. This is the first time we're actually doing a live for Earthcast and, you know, a combination between Push Local Ventures and Earthcast. So thank you so much for being brave and giving us your time. I think maybe to start off, a gentle question, you know, I wanted to first ask in more of a sub-Saharan African way, I guess, you know, what is your name? What does it mean to you? And I'd love a little bit of context on what experiences or like aha moments you've had in your life that empowered you to get to UMeta, because you were talking about youth voices. Mm. I know a lot of the youth sound like they're shouting about things and there's this, you know, they just look angry. So yeah. How have you converted that into the successful business you now have?
So first question, my name is Ntabi Singh, like I've said. It means happiness, right? And I like to think that I am just that. I inspire hope through my optimism and empathetic nature. And that also speaks to my leadership style, which is collaborative. It's authentic. It's servant leadership and transformational, excuse me. And so some of the aha moments that I've had in my life that led up to this formation of UMeta was my personal life story, my personal experience in my educational career. So I was smart. I'd like to think I was a smart girl. And I was always told what to do. And engineering just so happened to be that. I was told to go into civil engineering. And it was only in my third year that I discovered it actually wasn't for me. And I had to be brave enough and courageous enough to stay true to my passions, which I later discovered was industrial engineering. So just going through that journey of accumulating tuition and all the time spent at university, I felt as though I don't want to see any more youth in a similar situation. And I asked myself, what is within my means? And I tapped into my entrepreneurial passions as well. And so that led me to come up with the solution of incentivizing youth to formulate an informed career identity. And yeah, that has been my story. I mean, I've had to forge ahead through failure. I've had to knock on doors. I've had people laugh in my face about the idea. But another aha moment for me was my resilience. And it just speaks to how I took... Yes,
well,
I'm a very brave girl with a risk appetite that I've discovered.
I love that.
So I found myself moving to Cape Town last year without a plan, but I knew I wanted to be part of this entrepreneurial ecosystem that you guys have going on here. I wanted to be a part of that. And so I came here and I found my footing, man. I was rejected, yes, but I persisted. And that led me to where I am in my entrepreneurial journey right now of developing You Matter.
That's
powerful.
Beautiful. You're very powerful. Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, don't apologize. It was mic drop. That's why.
Crickets. Wow. Can you believe the same young person we met at BFA Global a couple weeks ago?
I can't believe it. Yeah, how long ago did we meet?
About Happen 6 weeks, May? 7 weeks.
Oh, it's been quick, eh?
It has.
It's been a beautiful progression.
Yeah. Special. And Tabi, thank you for joining us. I've journeyed with you a bit closer, I think, than most people have had the opportunity to do. You know, as a young person, I'm very proud to see the kind of work that you do. I'm very proud to see your resilience. You're right. You're one of the most resilient young people I know. And I think you'd be defined as the underdog in most of the spaces that you go into. And I think what's powerful is that you continuously overcome that. And that's really, really a key to success, is being able to take failure on the chin and to move forward through it. At the moment now where You Matter is at, you know, you guys have received a lot of hype around what you're doing. Mm-mm. The energy sector is massive right now. I mean, especially with the green economy coming up and being able to understand that Eskom is a crisis, not just here, but a global crisis that we're facing in terms of energy. I'm just curious in terms of, you know, you're saying you knocked on a lot of doors and you got them closed, but I also believe that right now a lot of doors are opening for you. A lot of people are kind of knocking on your door at the moment to say, you know, can we have interviews? Can we have conversations? Yeah, what are you doing? How do we stand with you? And so I just want to know, you know, where are you at in your You Matter kind of journey?
Yes.
And when you say you're developing opportunities for youth, you know, in which sector? Why is that sector important for you? What is that relationship to kind of either the national policy or the global policy or narrative that's happening? You know, what are those
difficult
kinds of...
Difficult question.
No, but I mean, I'm a mentor. I'm one of the mentors. This is like, you know, come on, like, let me see if this, this is paying off. No, but she already has the answers. I know that for a fact. Yeah, but, you know, what does that look like for you? Where are you at? Why?
Sure thing. Great question. Firstly, thank you for taking on this journey with me. I knew we just kicked it from the moment we met at the Climathon, and likewise with you, Olivia, as well. The feedback you've given me that I've incorporated back into my solution, which I will speak to right now. So my company is a profit for impact edtech startup. We motivate youth to develop a career identity within the evolving energy landscape. So I had to look inward. My idea was very broad, and probably the reason why I failed and why many people laughed in my face, because it had so many moving parts and I was just trying to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to bring it back in, and I analyzed our external environment, right? And the just energy transition just so happens to be the fastest moving water, not only nationally, but globally. And I wanted to be a part of that movement, more especially because so many young people don't identify with this evolving energy landscape. They don't see themselves in it. Like they just can't position themselves. The language is too hard. The documents are long, and everything just keeps, you know, it just keeps coming at us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I developed an edtech solution, like I've said. So yes, we incentivize youth to formulate an occupational identity. We do this through a digital platform that exposes youth to digitized job shadowing and training opportunities, right? To it's like a show and tell approach, which I believe in. So I'm showing you what it is, I'm showing you where all these opportunities are happening, and I'm giving you the opportunity to tap into that and to be a part of that. Like I said, energy is the fastest moving water at the moment. So the just energy transition presented just that opportunity. It's current. It's already begun in Mpumalanga more especially. And what that means is that a lot of the jobs that we know they're changing. So where do youth come into that? And how do we sustain livelihoods? And that's why this incentivization model is fundamentally important. So I pay you to upskill, right? And the reason why I feel that this, that I'm onto something and this could work, is because demand is informed by employers. So as much as I digitize job shadowing, it's tied to artificially intelligent learning pathways, which also happens to be personalized. So it's unique to you, to your journey, to the subjects you chose, and to the marks that you're getting in school. And yeah, that's my idea. That's my solution. That's what I'm going with. That's what I'm putting my bet on.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much betting on you too.
Goosebumps right now. That is magnificent.
Thank you.
Very special. It's the same concept you pitched us at BFA Global and she won for.
Yeah.
So she's just taken it further.
A good pitch. It was a powerful pitch. Let me tell you, I was sold. I was ready 100%. To throw my money at the project.
Can I be honest with you guys? I suffered from imposter syndrome for the longest time
after that.
Because it was my first time pitching in a formal environment. And then walking out as the winners as well, I was like, is this me? Like, is this happening now? And the answer is yes. The just energy transition has begun. And there's no better time than now. There's an increased urgency to, and this also speaks to Clause 12 of the Paris Agreement, which speaks to advancing education and awareness of climate opportunities. Mm. Education plays a vital role in overall advancing public participation and engagement. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. It's urgent. It's happening now, and I'm fully invested in this.
Thank you.
It's so inspiring to see your passion for the space.
Thank you.
I was just thinking about a couple of the difficulties or challenges. I'd rather phrase it as lessons learned, but that's a little bit sometimes a bit optimistic when you faced a lot of rejection. But what was the best advice that you received? You know, you said that you started with, I just want to save the world. A lot of people, I think, have, not a lot, a few people have that experience where I want to change the world. Got so many different moving parts. How did you go from there, passion, interest, to such a sophisticated and focused platform? Because I think people often miss the, what's the word I'm looking for here? They miss the niche, and you've got a really special focus on what you're doing. There isn't any distraction, nothing superfluous.
Yeah, it was not always that way, which is why it was so overwhelming in the beginning.
Nice.
But I have taken advice. I have placed myself in situations and in rooms that speaks to what it is that I'm doing. And also what motivated me is my spirituality. So what drives me is this quote or the saying by Kerry Washington in an interview that she once did. And she says that if you don't, you can't pray to catch the bus and then stroll down the street, right? You have to pray to catch the bus and run down the street. So that if you miss the bus, it wasn't your bus, and that's okay. But if you pray and still miss the bus, it wasn't your bus. And if you run as fast as you can down the street and you still miss the bus, it means it wasn't your bus. So God's rejection for me, especially in my personal journey, speaks to his protection. And everything has lined up so perfectly in hindsight, if I think about it. I have received calls to competitions that I haven't even entered.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Like, even the climathon, I saw that within, the last week. And so, yeah, it has all been so spiritual. Everything has been aligned and it has come around 360.
Thank you for such a vulnerable share. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like not enough entrepreneurs speak about their spirituality and the role that God plays in exposing them or opening up these doors to them. And that is my grounding principles. That is my foundation. I'm deeply rooted in that. And I wasn't always, but this journey has forced me to look not only to my own strength, but to, you know, like an internal sort of supply of power and strength and something that knows no bounds and no limitations. So that's my current mindset. I know no bounds. I know no limitations. I will step into every room and completely take up space.
Mm-hmm.
It's magnificent.
Mm. I don't mean to go deep, y'all.
No, it's good. It's
no,
good.
I prefer it when you do deep. I'm so sorry to jump in.
Go for it. Go for it. I can see it's burning in you. You're like, I'm going to get off this couch right now. And I can feel your energy like creeping across the couch. I'm like, dude, you can. Yeah, you can take it. It's cool. Go. I tag you.
So you're talking about the role that spirituality plays in the success of your business. Some people, a lot of people will find that diction really accessible. How would you explain, how do I phrase this? Spirituality and empathy fatigue are not spoken about enough in business, including the rat race. Mm. And particularly in the work that you're doing, you're working both, you know, profit, people, planet. It's the entire mix.
Yeah.
So how do you balance, for lack of a better term, your empathy fatigue? You know, what do you do for yourself? I'm not asking you, how as a woman do you balance your work and life? That's not my question. I am not asking you that. I want to know, like, yeah, I think, I hope I've articulated the question.
Yes.
How do you feed back into your own cup? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, the first realization is that I have nothing to give if I don't fill my own cup first. And it doesn't speak to just pouring out a full cup even. It just speaks to giving the best of me that I have to give. And there are often times that I isolate myself because I am an introvert that has to be out there now, right? And so, yeah, man, I try to recharge as much as I can alone before tapping into my support network, which has grown tremendously in Cape Town. Also my family, like everyone is just so supportive and I'm in awe of the people I have in my life. I definitely, like I tune into them. I look to them for advice. I'm also not afraid to ask for help. So whenever I do get stuck or I do need advice.
Please everyone hear that and listen. Do you mind repeating that?
I am not afraid to ask for help.
No, really.
Honestly, like
that's
I could
for
be
everyone.
Stuck for in
no.
for like a long period of time with the smallest thing, and I'd come to Dee and she'd be like, "No, man, just make it a Google Classroom." I'm like, "Why did I not think about that?"
She's so like, "My AI is not working." I'm like, "Don't worry about the AI.
Exactly,
let's go low tech.
Kiss
and
keep it simple, sweetie.
keep it simple within means, right?" And she's taught me that there are people who have traveled this path.
Okay.
So I don't have to make the mistakes that they've made. And people like you guys who are opening yourselves up to being mentors in this space, I make use of that. Like I definitely tap into the whole of my support system.
Wow. So she's running an edtech business and we plug into her power supply.
Yeah, I think you've got it the wrong way around, actually. we're leveraging your business right now. Yeah, I guess it's so beautiful. I mean, it was really lovely to meet you. If any of the listeners are interested, the Climathon was an event that happened a couple of weeks ago that Ntabi Singh was one of the winners of. Not one of the winners.
She was the winner.
With the project that we've been discussing today. Gone completely blank on what I was talking
BFA
about.
BFA Global, what the competition was.
The
yeah, but we
meeting.
Only yeah we only met Me. A couple of weeks ago, and I think what's been really beautiful is how quickly the synergy has worked together. I think when you trust your intuition and you reach out to the right types of people, and I'm looking for those who are looking on camera, you can't see, but there's a group of people here that deserve a huge thanks. We'll get their thanks just now, but. The synergy of coming together. Before I ask you my last question, Dee, if there's anything else you want to talk about, but if there's anything that you want to mention that, you know, maybe other young people, you know, we often listen to these stories of success and you're like, oh no, I faced these challenges and I did this and I did that and it sounds great, but if you're sitting in a hole and you're struggling, what is the practical step? You know, it's great and everyone to say, oh, smile, you know, think positive, but what is, maybe if you don't mind sharing, what were your steps? How did you pull yourself out when you struggled with empathy fatigue, inverted commas?
Fundamentally for me, I've had to stop asking permission to take up space. So I've had to validate myself in the midst of rejection. I've had to be the one to validate myself. And it just speaks to like how like everyone should be so aligned that they know what's for them, that even if it's not working out, you still persist. You miss 100% of the chances you don't take. And so that also just speaks to actively putting yourself out there every day. Like, you have to, well, after recharging, put yourself out there, right? So yeah, man, I've unapologetically done that. And that has been my North Star, is to believe in myself, especially when no one else does.
I think you'd be surprised at how many people do believe in you, especially ones that you don't know about.
Yeah. They do think so. They must come up and communicate that validation with me.
Like, listen, we're not talking silence right now. I need some hands in the air.
I've been by myself.
Speak up.
That was a self high five.
Yeah. Self-validation, that was the lesson from the session. I really appreciate you, Olivia and Ntabi. You know, this is going to be corny. I'm going to bring the gender lens into this. We didn't intentionally set out to create a gender-lensed podcast. That wasn't the intention of this exercise. But I'm really grateful to see such powerful young women sitting at a space like this. Chief Etienne, who you guys will chat to in a bit, he always says to me, women and matriarchs have always been the cornerstone of society. And for me to, you know, kind of see that spirit rising once again in our communities, you know, black, white, colored, whatever you want to, whatever race you want to, kind of wealthy, you know, low income community. Yeah. It's really special to see us coming back to being that cornerstone, nurturing in our own ways. Because technically, a business in my mind is a nurturing tool. It's a tool to feed. It's a tool to serve. It's a tool to, you know, shelter people. That is what a business is, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're not running a business for that purpose, then I don't really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm already sure. Like, obviously, there's profits, and profits are meant to be there to be sustainable. But
there's a balance.
100%. So I really am just grateful to be able to sit at the space like this. And I want to open up the floor to any questions that you know, maybe on some of our Instagram followers may have, or some of our Zoom colleagues may want to share.
So
with
my
us.
Suggestion is when we do our full Q&A at the end, we'll sit down and all the collated questions we'll ask together.
All right, cool. No problem. Okay, cool. We're going to leave the...
I actually have one more question.
The question sessions till you later.
I have one more question, Dee. Unless you've got something else to ask.
No, I just wanted to be grateful. I'm just amazing. I'm not amazing. I am amazing.
You are amazing. Just, you guys are all
I'm
amazing.
I'm in business mode. I'm just remember to be grateful.
No, go for it. Go for it.
No, I'm truly appreciative that you've trusted me and to join me and to collaborate with me. But the last question I always ask on Earthcast specifically, and that's one thing I didn't want to let go of for this, given your experience, your expertise, what question should I have asked you that would have helped you tell your story better?
I feel that is a very
good question.
That's a great question.
So,
well done.
Something that might have been missed during this podcast is my background and my upbringing, which has also influenced me to come up with the solution that I have, serving youth at risk and youth not in education, not in training, and not in employment, right? These are my everyday life experiences. So I'm from a very small colored community west of Joburg. It's called Toekomstris. Now, my home language is Afrikaans, and so directly translated, Toekomstris means future rest. And I've spoken to some elders in the community, and they were just reflecting on their own experiences as well of how the name feeds into the behaviors and how people interact in the community, which is, but I'll get into that. So Toekomstris is a place where people's futures came to be buried, literally. The youth in my community have stopped dreaming. To the point where they don't aspire to anything more. They don't see themselves outside of their situation. And for me, I've always just wanted to plant the seeds of hope, because I feel like that is where everything starts. Like, you believing, you sitting in your room believing that you can be and you can achieve great things is the starting point of all great things. And so I wanted to go back to my community and give youth hope, to formulate an occupational identity. And the reason why this occupational identity is so important to me is because it's encompassing of your relationships and your interactions with people. It speaks to your self-belief, to your passion, right? So it's fundamentally such a big part of who we are and how we carry ourselves. And just giving people that hope to dream bigger and to see bigger, just generally, fundamentally uplifting their aspirations to productivity and knowing that they have a place, not only in society, but in the saturated labor market, that they can feed themselves and their families, and they can use their passions to give back. So, youth development is very important to me. And it again, speaks to how it is that I was brought up and what I saw growing up, my environment. So this is for youth. It's by youth, for youth. And that's a slogan that I don't use lightly.
Sure. Every time I'm in a room with her, it's, every time.
You finish a sentence, another 1,000 questions pop up into my head.
I have time. We're gonna have to do
a part two.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
Yeah, and a part three and a part four.
I'm here for all of these opportunities.
No, but this is what Olivia was really hoping for when she wanted to bring this, I think, back to the table, was having real voices, real solutions, people that are on the ground in the trenches, and I think we've achieved that. So thank you for being willing to have the space with us. And Tabby, thank you for being willing to share so boldly once again. I mean, you stepped up at BFA with courage I've never seen. Today again, the whole day is just freaking out. Whole day. Oh my gosh, my first podcast. I was freaking out.
Never. It's perspective.
Look at you. Okay. Now that we're almost done with the interview, right? Now you're calm. Okay.
We still have live history. Let me humble myself.
I love it. But, you showed up again today. Once again, with courage, with bravery, with, not knowing, but being comfortable in the unknowing. And I'm really, really, proud of you for being that person. You teach us every single day. You may be younger than me, you're younger than most of us in the room. Every day you show up with that courage. So keep doing that. And we appreciate you. Olivia, it's been amazing.
Thank you.
All right. We've got a message.
Showing up. Cool.
All right, guys. Great to have you with us. Thank you so much. We are going to jump into some Q&A now, or no? Right at the end? Do you have more questions?
So I think for now we're going to wrap up. We're going to take a 15-minute break, and then we're going to bring Chief Etienne in and then do a Q&A with the four of us.
Okay.
Thank you so much for those who have logged in. Please log in again in 15 minutes and we'll join you. Just to reiterate, a huge thank you for everyone involved. And we're really looking forward to seeing the questions that come through. Ask Ntabi really difficult questions. I want her to blush on the spot. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Oh, wait.
Ntabi, just look at some of your feedback there. Some
amen, sister.
Amen, yeah. Speak about God. That's so beautiful that you brought that into business.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It coexists.
Like, Janine, we got mad love for you.
Thanks, Janine.
Love you, Janine. And everyone else, obviously. Sorry, that was a bit dramatic.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. But we'll see you in 10, 15 minutes. And big thanks again. Ntabi, wow, so appreciate your time. And I'm at a bit of a loss for words for what to say. All I can really offer you right now is just a big appreciation.
Thank you so much for having me and for bringing this opportunity to my doorstep. I will continue to take these opportunities boldly and proudly, speaking my truth, because that's the only truth I know how to speak. So thank you so much for having me, and to everyone out there, thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Ntabi Seng.
Yes.
Singata.
Girl, yes.
Ntabi Seng Singata. I am on LinkedIn. I post all of my work there. So you'll also get some insight into my company, where it is that I am. It's very exciting times.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Bye. Cheers, y'all. Peace out.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 1 of Social Enterprise Stories. Keep an eye out for the next episode, where we will be interviewing Chief Etienne Davids, the co-founder of Stringbean Media, a proudly Indigenous Khoi and San social entrepreneurship enterprise.